Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. For he has allowed us one more night, hallelujah, to come and hear what his words say on tonight. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And I am so grateful again for all of you that are on the line. Hallelujah. We truly thank God for one more day. I am Reverend Dr. Doris Dorsey. I'm your host of Spirit-Filled Women of God, Sisters in Christ Ministry. Hallelujah. And I welcome you all tonight to our conference on tonight. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank the Lord. It is so good just to be able to call on the name of the Lord today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God, for he is so awesome on today. And I just truly thank the Lord for all that has transpired this week thus far with the conference. Hallelujah. And again, tonight we will have another woman of God that's going to come and bring the bread of life for us on tonight. Truly, we thank God for the women that have come and allowed the Holy Spirit to use them to just press on in the word of God and to let us know what thus says the Lord. Hallelujah. Special in this time, but it is truly a needed time for God's word. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And I pray that everyone that has come tonight and Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night have been blessed by the word of God and been encouraged. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Truly, God is good unto us. Glory be to his name. At this time, I'm going to go and read our scripture as it is for the scripture for the week, Psalm 115 and verse 15, because our theme is My Father Has Blessed Me. Hallelujah. And I want to keep with this one scripture that goes with the conference. Hallelujah. Ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. Ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. And that means that all of us are blessed. Hallelujah. Blessed by our Father, the one that created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. No matter what you have, how much, how little, all of it is a blessing from the Lord. Hallelujah. And we thank God for his blessings. Father God, in the name of Jesus, come once again, Lord God, just to tell you thank you, Father God. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. God, we thank you for life, health, and strength. God, we thank you for all you have done this week thus far, Lord God, for the word that have come forth, for those women that have stood in the gap, Lord God, and brought forth your word. God, we pray for the speaker on tonight, Father God, Lord, that you're using a mighty way, oh God. Father God, we thank you. We glorify your name. I pray for everyone that's on the line, Father God, and those that are going to come to hear the word in the archive later on, Lord, that you will bless them, whatever they stand in the need of, if it's healing, deliverance, Lord God, your provision, Lord God, whatever it is, Lord God, I pray that you will bless them, Lord God, for taking the time just to come to hear what your word says unto them, oh God. Father God, I just want to glorify you because you are God Almighty, and besides you, there is no other. Lord God, where we be without you, Father God. Lord, I just thank you, and I praise your holy name. God, you're so good. You're so awesome. You're merciful. You're loving. You're kind. Lord, we thank you that you're faithful. You're forgiving, God. And God, we just glorify you. We glorify your holy name. But Lord, it is about you. It's about glorifying your son. It's about your love, Lord God. It's about the sacrifices that you made for us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the sacrifice of your only begotten son. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you continue to look after us and our families, oh God. We thank you, Father God, that in the time of grieving, Lord God, that you continue to comfort us, oh God. In the time of pain and sorrow, Lord God, you continue to strengthen us, oh God. Lord, when we lay down at night, you protect us and you wake us up, Lord God. And for that, we say thank you. We just want to glorify your name. Hallelujah. Lord, just say that when praises goes up, blessings will come down. Hallelujah. And Lord, I thank you it that we are able tonight, hallelujah, just to call on your name, hallelujah, one more time. For God, you're so good to us. You're so good to us, Lord God, hallelujah. Help us not to look at the things that are before us, oh God, but to keep our eyes focused on you. Because no matter what, Father God, you are still in control. And Lord, we thank you. You are the one, Lord God, that created heaven and the earth, Father God. Hallelujah. You are the author and the finisher of our faith, oh God. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless your name. Where would we be without you, Father God? Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy on those, Father God, that are walking around, Lord God, and being self-centered, oh God, that, Lord God, don't realize, hallelujah, that they need you, oh God, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Father God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're so worthy, God. And I bless your holy name. I bless your name on tonight, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve, and I thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen, hallelujah. At this time, I'm going to play a song, and then I'm going to come back and do the introduction of our speaker on tonight. Hallelujah.
Presence.
Hallelujah. He knows my name. He knows your name too. Hallelujah. He walks with us. He talks with us. He comforts us. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being there. Hallelujah. Glory be to your name. Hallelujah. At this time, I'm going to do the introduction of our speaker. I have known this woman of God when we were in North Carolina. We have ministered together. She had ministered at my church when I first started and had my first revival. We were in a women's service together where we both ministered, both spoke. And she is a wonderful woman of God, a woman that sings, and I'm quite sure she will tonight, who I am honored to know and so grateful to have her to speak tonight. I'm talking about Reverend Eugene Mooney Alexander. Reverend Eugene Mooney Alexander is the daughter of Johnny Mooney and the late Ida D. Mooney. She has 9 siblings, of which she is the middle child. She was raised in a Christian home. She has been a member of Mount Calvary Baptist Church since childhood. She accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior at the age of 10 years old. She has held various positions in the church, such as Sunday school teacher, nursery worker, and the director of youth and Christian education. She is she's also a member of Mount Calvary Gospel Choir and the Pleasant Ridge Baptist Church Adult Choir in Shelby, North Carolina. She is an associate minister at Mount Calvary Baptist Church, Gastonia, North Carolina, and the founder of Eugene Mooney Ministries. Reverend Mooney was licensed to preach in 1999 by her pastor, Reverend James Burrow, and ordained in 2002 by the Gaston County Missionary Baptist Association. Her education accomplishment includes diploma in nursing from Gaston College, an associate degree in psychology from Gaston College, a Bachelor of Arts in Sociology from the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, and a Master of Divinity in Christian Education from Garner Webb University. Reverend Mooney is also a gospel singer and songwriter. She uses music as well as video and social medias to reach hurting hearts and souls for spreading the gospel and to glorify God. One of her favorite scripture is Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I introduce to some and present to others Reverend Eugene Mooney Alexander. Reverend Mooney, are you on?
Yes.
No,
yes, ma'am, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can.
Okay. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. While I'm on this tedious journey, I want Jesus to walk with me. You walked with my mother, please walk with me. You walked with my mother, please walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me.
Hallelujah. Honey, let me tell you something. We need Jesus every day to walk with us. Can't make it without him. You can't make it without him. I just first want to give God all the highest honor and praise, for he is definitely worthy of it. And I want to also thank Reverend Dr. Dorsey for inviting me to be a part of this first annual Spirit-Filled Women of God Sisters in Christ Ministries Conference. Amen. Amen. It's such an honor to share the word of God with you and to share the platform with the other women of God. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity just to share his precious word for a little bit. My topic for tonight, I will be talking about Hannah, and my topic is, what do you do when God says no? What do you do when God says no? And if you would, turn in your Bibles, or however you do it, to 1 Samuel, the first chapter. I will be reading verses 1 through 11. And then I will read verse 20. I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. And before I read, let's pray. Humbly we come before your throne of grace and mercy, O Lord, thanking you for another opportunity to call on your precious name. Now, Lord, speak to me and through me, O Lord, that those who are on the airwaves, God, that they have open minds and receptive hearts, to not only hear your word, but will receive it, believe it, and apply it to their lives. And it is in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Amen. I will read the scripture. There was a certain man of Ramathaim, a Zophite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Joram, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuth, and Ephraimite. He had two wives. The one was named Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, this man used to go up year by year from his town to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife, Peninnah, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival used to provoke her severely to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. her husband Elkanah said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they had eaten and drunk at Shiloh, Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made this vow, O Lord of hosts, if only you would look on the misery of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head. And I will go down to verse 20. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I have asked him of the Lord. Amen. What do you do when God says, human beings are complex creatures? They have the capacity to think and to process information. Depending on their belief system, they can live their life honoring God or relying on themselves. When we talk to God in prayer, those of us who are followers of Christ believe God hears and answers our prayers. We rely, trust, and have confidence that God works all things for our good. What happens when you pray continuously and it seems like God is not listening to you? You even start to wonder if he cares. Are you praying the right way? Or could it be God is saying no to your request? Before we get into the story of Hannah, I would like to set the stage. Hannah, whose name means favor, grace, is one of two wives of Elkanah. Peninnah, his first wife, had children, and Hannah did not. You have to understand the times in which Hannah lived. It was extremely important for a woman to have children, especially male children, so they could carry on the family name. A woman was considered cursed by God if she could not have children. She was known as barren. One of the things that the average married couple wants is children. A woman wants to give her husband the one thing he wants more than anything, a child, especially a male child. When a couple truly loves each other, when they love each other, the child is an outward expression of that love. The Jewish belief was this: the more children a man had, the more blessed he was by God. During this time, a man could have more than one wife as long as he could provide for them both equally. Women were considered the property of the male. The male could do whatever he wanted to with his property. If a man decided for whatever reason he did not want his wife, he could get rid of her. There was no recourse. There was no anything for her. She was pretty much outcast. She either had to connect herself with another male relative or find some man to connect to. But he could say, you burned the toast. I can't be married to you anymore. Oh, you don't look as good as you used to. I just don't want to be married to you anymore. All the power seemingly was in his hand. Elkanah came from Levites, which are priests. Elkanah, when I looked it up and looked up a lot of his history, came from a good family. And the priesthood was part of his lineage. Elkanah loved both his wives. Because Hannah could have no children. Now, mind you, she couldn't have children. He could have gotten rid of Hannah. But he didn't, because he loved her. Both women were unhappy in different ways when you read the story. So let us take a look at the things. Let's look at things from Peninnah's perspective. She is Elkanah's first wife. He met her first. He fell in love with her first. And she had given him sons to help him carry on his name. She should have been happy that she could bring so much joy to her husband. Instead, she was arrogant and disrespectful. According to the story, year after year after year, she would irritate poor Hannah, who would go up with the family to sacrifice worship to God. Her husband would sacrifice worship to God and make her, they would do like meat sacrifice, and you give a portion to your family, you know, you burn part for God and show your respect to the Lord. And every year that Hannah did this, Peninnah would taunt her. Why? Why do you think she provoked Hannah so much? Well, Peninnah, she may have felt, if her husband truly loved her, why would he want another wife? She had given him her love and children. Was that not enough for him? Did he really love her? Was she not enough for him? Was he going to replace her? The truth is this. She is jealous of Hannah simply because her husband loves her, even though she is barren. See, Peninnah wanted her husband to love her and only her. Even though it was their custom they could have more than one wife, that necessarily mean that the wives got along. In this case, these two did not. But most of us, when we connect ourselves with a male, especially whether it's boyfriend relationship or fiance or husband, most of us want a monogamous relationship. Most of us believe or want to believe that he is committed to us, and we're going to be committed to him, solely just the two of us. But, of course, reality can sometimes set in, and where you're thinking it's one way, it may certainly be a whole other story. Just because you're feeling that way don't mean necessarily that he is. So you have to really know who you're dealing with. Now, let's look at Hannah. Even though her husband loved her, even when they went to the temple to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord, still give a portion of the meat to his first wife and their children and give Hannah a double portion. But she still was sad. Elkanah did all he knew to try to show Hannah how much he loved her. But she was just sad in her heart. if you're not at this place, I'm going to put a pin here for a second. As a woman, you can have a good man in front of you and not know it. You can't see the good man for maybe the bad one that you once had. Or maybe you're scared of the good man because you're waiting for something bad to happen. But this is the thing. He did all he knew to make her happy, to show her it wasn't about her having a child. It was about the fact that he loved her. That's why she was his wife. But you have to understand her heart and her feelings. Until you opened your heart up first to God, then you can open it up to others. Because you need to love yourself before you can love another. And the way you can love yourself is to love your God. Because God will give you love for yourself and others. Don't look for another to fill your emptiness. When you connect yourself with someone, especially when it's talking about marriage, you need to already be a complete person. There are some people that literally would lose their mind if their spouse or their boyfriend or significant other were to leave them because they have put all of who they are into that person. I'm going to tell you like my mother used to say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. You don't put all of yourself into a human being like that. You put all of who you are into God. God safeguards your heart. He's not going to break it. He's not trying to manipulate you, get something out of you, or to use you in any negative way. So if you want to give your all to something, you give it to God. Elkanah just couldn't understand why Hannah was so sad. He just didn't get it. And he says to her, when you read in the story, he says to her, am I not worth more to you than 10 sons? He just didn't understand her grief. He didn't understand her heart. See, look at it like this. He had sons to carry on his name with his first wife. So maybe it wasn't that big a deal to him that she didn't have any kids. Because he already had something to carry on his name. But now he had sons and daughters for him. So it wasn't a big deal to him if she had the kids or not. He said, hey, I love you. That's the main thing. Don't you get it? I love you, period. See, he thought her feeling sad had to do with the way he treated her. But it had to do with the fact that she just wanted to give him a child. Elkanah loves these two women who don't get along with each other. One of the things he would do when he went up to the tabernacle to pray and worship, he would take his family with him in the hopes that they would pray and worship God. And one of the offerings he would sacrifice was for peace in his home. Year after year, Hannah would pray to God for a child, but God closed her womb. Why? Did God not hear her request? Was he telling her no? The fact that she was known not only as Elkanah's second wife, but also known as a barren woman, not to mention the fact that Peninnah constantly antagonized her, just added to her feelings of low self-esteem and unworthiness. Picture Hannah. This woman has what you want. You so want to share that with the man you love, with your husband. and seems like nothing's happening with that. You're praying to God and seems like he's not answering you. What do you do when God says no? Well, we're going to go a little deeper. Luke, the 6th chapter, the 45th verse says this. The good person out of the treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever is in you is going to come out. It's basically what it's saying. Psalms 139, verses 1 through 3 says this, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. You may confuse people sometimes, but you don't fool God none of the time. See, God knows the thoughts before you even form them in your mind. He knows your true feelings. He knows your true heart. One of the reasons that God may have closed Hannah's womb was because he knew her heart. Her wanting a child just so she would not be called barren, or just so Paniah would not taunt her anymore, just so she can say, now I have kids just like you do. Those are not good reasons to have a child. In fact, those are self-serving reasons. Another reason God may have closed her womb was to get her ready for the child he was going to bless her with. See, sometimes God will place us in a holding pattern to prepare us for the blessing. Amen. Sometimes there are some things God must get out of us to get the blessing to us. Sometimes we have to be shaped and molded and pressed on a little bit and go through some things to get to some things. A lot of times when people get into situations, they don't want to go through anything. They want automatic deliverance. They don't want to feel pain. They don't want to feel stress. They don't want to feel worry, anxious, fear, none. They don't want to feel anything. They just say, Lord, get me out. But instead, you may want to say, Lord, what do you want me to learn during this process, during this time that you got me in this holding pattern? You know, Hannah could say, I know you hear me. I know you hear my petition. I know you are God. I know you are powerful. I know there's nothing impossible with you. I believe with all my heart you're going to give me a child. But it's just like anything else that you're waiting for, that you've been praying about. The longer it takes, the more it weighs on your faith and seems like you start doubting. You begin to wonder and doubt yourself. You begin to wonder and doubt God. Is he really hearing me? Is he really going to give me the thing? Is he telling me no? Is he telling me no? Is he saying, wait? Hannah went to the temple. One of the many times, you know, she went up to the temple with the family for the worship to the tabernacle and all that. This woman, remember, she was up there that one time and she cried so much and was so upset. And Paniah wasn't helping the situation anymore. Said she wouldn't eat. Husband wants, no, why won't you eat? No, why aren't you eating? Sometimes, have you ever been so upset that you couldn't say a word. All you could do was cry. The pain was so deep, hurt so much, the disappointment was so great that all you could do is cry. You couldn't say a word. The words won't come because the pain's that bad. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. But see, God knows your heart, and he will wipe all those tears from your eyes. He will give you joy for the oil of mourning. He said, weeping only endures for a night, but joy does come. We might go through things in this life, but joy does come. It's like we have seasons. It's got to be a little rain. There's got to be a little sun. Flowers. I think of a flower. How beautiful colors flowers are, different colors and fragrances. But before that beauty comes above the ground, it has to be planted in the dirt. That seed has to be put in the right soil in the dirt. And it has to be watered. So here comes the trials, the tribulations in your life. You're being watered. But if you look closely and you put that seed in the right soil, you'll start to see something grow up through that dirt. As you go through the things you go through, don't fight this battle in your strength. You don't have enough for it. The Lord said he'll be your strength and he'll fight your battles. Let the Lord be the Lord and let him fight for you. The flower is beautiful not because it's sunshining all the time. It has to have a little rain to make it grow. Sometimes we just got to go through what we got to go through to get to the blessing that God has. I know if you're like me, like most people, you would much rather just say, God, can you just hand me the blessing? And let's just, you know, cancel out all that trial, tribulation stuff. You know, can we just take me on to the finish line? That's one thing about God. He never tells you the whole thing. But he never, ever wastes anything. Any trial, any tribulation, anything like that that you have been through or going through, I promise you, God will use it for your good some kind of way. You may not can see that right now. Oh, hallelujah, but I'm telling you that God will use it for your good because he wastes nothing. He wastes nothing. He will use it for your good. Amen. Ooh, excuse me, y'all. Hallelujah. Here is Hannah in the temple. And she is weeping bitterly. I mean, she is just sobbing. She's over in the corner and she's crying. The priest Eli is sitting at the door. And he looks over there and he notices her mouth moving. But there's no sound coming out of it. So he assumes that she's drunk. She's crying, her mouth moving, but no sound is coming out. She's praying to God from her heart. This time, she makes a vow to God. She tells God if he would just bless her with a son, she would give him back to him. She would raise him as a Nazarite. No razor will see his head. After the child was weaned, she would bring him to the tabernacle, or temple rather, to be used for God's service. That's the vow she made while she was in the temple. I have a question for you. What makes this time any different than all the other times she prayed? Well, first of all, she came humbly before the Lord. She cried bitterly. She cried from her soul. She was specific about her prayer. She didn't say, I want a child. She said, I want a son. She didn't ask for a bunch of children. She asked for a son. She was specific in her prayer. She prayed from her heart, and she came humbly. She did not put her needs first. She put God's need first because she made a vow. And in that vow, she was willing to give God what was most precious to her back to the God that gives it to her, that was going to give it to her. Matthew 6:33 says this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Any and everything that you may need. When you put God first in his way of living and doing the right things, he will add things to you. There will be blessings and good things. Psalms 37:4, one of my favorite scriptures, delight thyself also in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, understand something right here. I want to go back for a second. Hannah is getting it all from every side. Elkanah's getting a little irritated because he's doing all he can to show her he loves her, that she's sad. So that's irritating him to a point. Hananiah is sticking it to her because she wants her husband's love just for her alone. Now she don't have any children, so she's feeling all of these probably negative emotions and feelings, and it's heavy weight. That's why she's weeping so bitterly. But you know what? I like what Hannah did, and I want you to take note of this. She takes all that negative energy. She takes all of Penaya's constant irritating of her, and she channels it. And that one time that she channels it, she prays. She takes the negative instead of crying and complaining, which she was crying, but instead of constantly crying, complaining, and moaning, she takes all that emotion and she puts it at the feet of the Lord. She casts all her cares on him, for he cares for her. She gives it to God. She gives it to him and releases that. And when she releases it, that's when things change for her. Not until she let go and let God, does things change. Elon, like I said, seeing her over in the corner, moving her mouth, no sound was coming out. And he assumed she had too much wine. And she let him know she had not been drinking. She was just that sad in her heart. Eli tells her to go and may God bless you with your request. When she gets up this time from praying, she is no longer crying. She is no longer sad. And she has peace in her heart. When you give it over to God, when you let God be in control, you can have peace in your heart. Because God will never fail you. He never fails. She returns home with a new attitude. She returns home. She gets with her husband. They made love, and honey, wham, bam, there you go. There comes the baby. Pregnant. Pregnant. And has a son. She has a son. And his name was Samuel. They named him Samuel because it meant asked of God. Look at God. She had to line up. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but they say a lot of times, and some of you out there may know if it's true or not, that when a woman wants a baby so badly, she literally can throw everything off in her body. And she, for the life of her, can't get pregnant. They say nothing's wrong with her, but she can't get pregnant. But the minute she, say, adopts a child, she relaxes, and guess who gets pregnant? She does. All because she relaxed. She didn't keep her main focus on that one thing. Our main focus shouldn't be on one thing but God. Which Hannah, think about it. She went to the temple to worship and to praise God. Instead, she was so consumed with wanting a child, she couldn't even worship God freely. She couldn't even enjoy the worship, and she couldn't get into it because she was so self-centered about what she wanted. She was that self-centered and so self-focused, she didn't realize what she was missing out on. She kept her vow to God. After Samuel was weaned, she took him to the temple, and he was raised among the priests. She kept her vow to the Lord. Not only did God bless her with Samuel, but she had other children as well. And Samuel became a prophet and judge of Israel. I have a question for you. Have you been praying for something for a long time, but have not received an answer from God? Is God telling you no? How do you know if God's telling you no and if you should keep praying or not? Psalms 84:11 says this, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows grace, glory, honor." And I love this line. "No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." God will not. I'm saying this much so you can get it. God will not withhold any good thing from you if you are walking in his ways and his statutes. He will not. Remember, God knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. Remember that. God knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. If he is saying no to you, there's a good reason for it. Maybe you're not ready for the thing or the things you're asking for. I've always heard that it's either God responds to all prayers, yes, no, but this is some questions that you may need to ask yourself on whatever it is that you are praying for. The first question you should ask yourself is, why do I want this thing or things that you're praying for? Another question would be, what is motivating me? Why do I want this thing or thing that I'm asking God for? What am I going to use it for? Will it bring glory to God? Remember, sometimes delay is not denial. I'll say that again. Sometimes delay is not denial. It's just preparing you for the blessing. God loves you and will do what is best for you. Remember that. He's going to do what's best for you. not what you want, not what you like. If you are truly serving God and God is your Lord and your Savior, then your will becomes His will, and whatever His will is, you will accept for your life. So He's going to do what's best for you. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He already knows the future because He is future. He already knows what you need before you ask Him. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows why you want what you want, why you do what you do. He knows you inside and out. You can't fool Him. And He loves you enough that if it's something He knows, if He bless you with it, that it's going to take you away from Him, maybe that's why He's withholding it from you. God loves you and will do what's best for you. You have to trust Him with all things. And I want to share something before I go in a word of prayer for those who are listening out there. There are women, myself included, who don't have children. There are women that other people look at them strange, want to know why they don't have children. Can they not have children, or did they just not want children? And there are women, they are, that will put pressure on other women because they don't think they're true women if they don't have children. Having a child may make you a mom, but it doesn't make you a mother, a nurturer. God gives you that heart. Women are special in God's sight. And when He gives a woman a child, that's an awesome blessing as well as an awesome responsibility. But He puts things, this is my heart, the true belief, that He, for those who are truly mothers and nurturers and caregivers, whether you have a natural child, whether you have one through in vitro, whether you have a surrogate, whether you adopt a child, whether you foster mother, God gives those women a special heart for those kids. Special about mom. Every woman is not meant to be a mother. I don't care how much she wants to be. She's not meant to be. If you really, truly want to mother, there are children in this world who need someone to love and nurture on them. If you really are that into wanting to be a mother, if you can't have natural children, you can do all the things I said earlier. You can adopt. You can foster in vitro. You can do all that. But if you don't, for whatever reason, have children, it's okay. It truly is okay. Because God made you special. God made you special. One part of it, yes, is to procreate, have kids, sure. But that's not all there is to a woman. There's more to us than baby-making machines. I take nothing away from a mother, nothing, because that's a hard job. And I applaud women who are housemakers and homemakers and keep things together and juggle all the things they juggle. I applaud you. The single woman, not having your kids is okay too. You're still a woman, and you're still loved by God. You're still loved of God. And like I said, ask yourself, why do you want these things? And what are you going to do with them? We're to love God first and foremost. He should be our first love over anything and anyone else. Love your Lord, your God, with all your heart and soul and your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe there's someone listening out there to me right now, and you don't feel very blessed. Maybe you're a single mom. You find yourself in a situation where you have children and feel like there's no help and you feel overwhelmed. I want you to know God loves you. You're still special, and He's going to help you if you let Him. He'll help you with whatever it is you need to help you with those children. He'll help you. Maybe you found yourself in a situation where you thought if I have a baby with him, he'll love me. But he walked away anyway. God still loves you. And God will help you as well. Love God with all your heart. Ladies, we have a tendency to give our power away. God has made us special and powerful and treasured and loved. Yet we give our power away sometimes to people who don't even deserve our time and attention, let alone our power. Never give your power away. Keep your power. God gave you that strength. God gave you that beautiful smile. Look at you, girl. You're beautiful. That's right. You're beautiful. You know why you're beautiful? Because God said you are. He said, you're my daughter. You're the apple of my eye. I love you. Simple as that. As we go down in prayer, I'm not only going to pray for women. I'm praying for everyone. But especially for those of us who are women. Let, ladies, begin to look at yourself through the eyes of God. Not through your own eyes, not through your neighbors, but through God. Let's pray. Oh, gracious, kind, loving Heavenly Father, we come humbly before your throne of grace and of mercy. Lord, we just thank you for being the God of our salvation. Lord, we thank you that you allow us to come before you. We don't need an appointment. We don't have to wait. Anytime, all we got to do is just call on your name and you will listen. Thank you for that. Thank you that you sent your son, Jesus, to show this world how valuable women are. You gave us strength like none other. We may not be physically strong as a male, but boy, we have strength. We bear children. We juggle so many things. You make us strong in heart and mind. You make us special. God, let us look at ourselves not through the eyes of others, but through your eyes. Because through your eyes, we've been delivered. We've been set free. Through your eyes, we are loved. Through your eyes, we're special. We deserve the best. God, help us as women to see the beauty that you see in us. Help us not to accept anything less in our lives than your best for us. Forgive us, oh Lord, when we fall short of your glory. Forgive us when we don't do the things we should do. Help us to keep our faith and our focus on you. We love you, Lord. For that person that's bitter, lonely, begging you for a child, confused, God, no matter what the issue is, you can meet us all where we're at. Meet them, I pray, at the point of their need. Whatever it is that they need, God, I know you will supply it. Because you're an awesome, awesome God. God, we love you. And help us to find the good. Even in this time that we're in right now, things seem bleak. But you said that's when you're strongest. When we're weakest, you're strong enough if we let you. We're going to lean, trust, rely, and depend and have confidence in you. We're going to give a sacrifice of praise, even when we don't feel like it, even when others taunt us, even when others say we can't do it. We're not pretty. We're not smart. Yes, we are because you say we are. And we're going to believe what you say. We're going to do what you say to. Live like you say live. And we're not going to accept anything less than your best for us. Thank you, Lord, for listening to us, listening to this prayer. And anything I fail in asking, Lord, please don't fail in giving. It's in your son's precious name that I pray. Amen. I turn it back over to you, Reverend Dorsey.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Truly, we thank God for the word on tonight. What do you do when God says no? Hallelujah. God is so good. And as Reverend Mooney said, that when God doesn't give us what we ask, sometimes God knows what's best for us. And sometimes the word tells us that we ask amiss. So when God says no, we just thank God and praise God when he says no, because he knows what's best for us. He's our Father. And just like our earthly parents, when they say no for something, it's because it may be for the best of us. So we look at God as being our Father, and whatever, when he says no, it's for the best. Sometimes we won't think that we can't handle, as she said, things that we can't handle. But God did bless Hannah. He blessed her when she cried out to him. So we thank God for the word on tonight, knowing that God can bless us, and bless us as long as we seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. And when say everything else shall be added unto us, if it's in the will of God, if it's in God's will, it shall be added unto us. If it's not in God's will, it won't be. I think that's the thing we have to look at sometime, if it's in God's will for his children. Amen. So truly we thank God, Reverend Mooney coming to bring the word for us tonight. And I think, again, I thank everybody that's on the line tonight, too. And I pray that you'll be back tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we'll have Evangelist Carmelita Ellick. I pronounced her last name, and I can't. I'm going to have to keep that in my mind. She's going to come from Martha and Mary, the sisters, and her topic is grieving sisters. And on Saturday night, we have Prophetess Dr. Mary Washington. She's going to do Deborah, and her topic is an uncommon leader. And on Sunday, my sister Evangelist Delores Chapman, Anna, topic, a model of spiritual devotion. And truly we thank God for all the women, again, that have come and brought forth the word. And I pray everyone that was blessed by the word of God, and that you'll be back again with us to fellowship in the word. We have 3 more nights, and God has been good, and we have heard the word, and we need to take the word and meditate on God's word and know that God is still in control of all things, and know that he knows what's best for us. So we, again, I truly thank Reverend Mooney for coming tonight to bring the word of God. Now at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Reverend Mooney to dismiss us. And I say to all again on the line, God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. And if you are able to come back tomorrow night, please come and fellowship with us in the word of God again. It has truly been a blessing to have everyone. If you need to go back and listen to the word, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/altogetherspiritfilled Spirit-filled Women of God, Sisters in Christ, Spirit-Filled Women of God, Sisters in Christ Ministries on Blog Talk Radio. You can go back and listen to it. All you have to do, just go to the page and scroll down, and you'll see each broadcast for the week and other broadcasts. So God bless everyone. Reverend Mooney, I ask that you dismiss us, and God bless you, and thank you so much for coming to take the time to allow the Spirit to use you to minister the word unto the people on tonight. So I turn it back on to you for any remarks that you may have and to dismiss us.
Well, thank you. Thank you once again, Reverend Dorsey, for allowing me to participate in this. I appreciate it. Thanks to all of you who are listening. I just know that God met you where you are, and he's going to meet you at the point of your need. And we just praise and thank him for all that he does for us. But as we dismiss, I wanted to say there is a particular song that God gave me, if Reverend would allow me.
Amen.
It says, "Do Lord remember me." And I remember that when I did this album that I did, I was going through a lot. And I felt like God wasn't listening and he didn't remember me. But he did let me know, "I do remember you. I haven't forgotten you. You're on my mind every day. Every day." So after I dismiss, I'm going to hit the button and play this song out, okay?
Amen.
So let's dismiss. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the opportunity and time once again just to share your word with others. Thank you for dwelling with us and allowing us to be in your presence. And God, continue to watch over us throughout the week, each and every day. Keep us safe, dear Lord, and keep us in your care. Now may grace, peace, and the love of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, about with you henceforth and forevermore. Amen. God bless you all. This is the song, "Do Lord Remember Me."
As a child growing up, I was always told, "Love you deeper as you fell, and respect the old. God is always watching, and his word is true. Whatever the situation, he will take care of you. Oh, my.
Everybody, and may God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Have a blessed night in the Lord. Reverend Mooney, thank you. God bless.
God bless you.